I'm expecting.
What does it take to build a movement in one of the world's fastest growing industries while giving power back to the people, the planet, and the little guys? Today's guest does just that. Warren Hickenbotham is the co-creator of the Organic and Natural Products Expo Africa, Africa's first and only dedicated platform for clean, conscious, and innovative brands across food, wellness, beauty, and more. But this isn't just a trade show. It's a launch pad for purpose-driven entrepreneurs, a meeting place for big ideas, and a celebration of Africa's rich legacy of natural health and healing. In this episode, we unpack the origin story of the expo, why SMEs are the future, what trends are worth watching, and how Warren is building something that is reshaping how we think about business, sustainability, and wellness across the continent. So whether you're a conscious consumer, a wellness enthusiast, or an entrepreneur with a dream product, then you need to experience the Organic and Natural Products Expo Africa for yourself. Join us this September at the Sandton Convention Center and be part of something bigger. Discover new products, meet the makers, connect with change makers, and explore what's next in health, wellness, beauty, and sustainability, and more. I will see you there. So Warren, thank you so much for joining me today on the Reinvent Health Podcast. Let's talk about your up-and-coming Organic and Natural Expo coming up in Joburg in September. Take us back to the beginning. What inspired you to start this expo in the first place?
Way back in the beginning, I'm talking 20 years ago, myself and my partner John used to work together in separate businesses. He was an expo guy, I was a media guy, so that's how we knew each other. He sold his business. And we actually bumped into each other at a coffee shop back in 2018, where he mentioned the idea, which was growing massively overseas, and there appeared to be no shows here. So that's where it kind of started. We went to local associations like SOORSO, South African Organic Sector Organization, PSG, the representative bodies, and everyone said it's the right time. So we had aimed to put on our first show in May, the 9th of May in 2020, and we all know what happened on the 27th of March in 2020, so everything was put on hold. And that's where the journey started, and we eventually got out the gates in 2022 with our first expo.
Wow, okay. And why health? So what prompted you to, I mean, you could have done anything. What nudged you in the direction of organic and health and lifestyle?
Honestly, the beginning of the journey was purely commercial. We saw an opportunity for a space that was growing in the US, it was growing in Europe. There wasn't anyone occupying that space so far as an event goes here. We'd seen the growth in the sector across East and West Africa. Southern Africa actually still lags behind in terms of arable land under organic agriculture. So it was an opportunity, a commercial opportunity. But that's substantially changed, obviously, to where we are now, and kind of we've become a part of this movement.
Yeah. So when I was approached to chat to you on this podcast about the expo, my mind first went to it must be about skincare products and food, but there's so much more to this expo than just the health hacker sort of vibe and the organic foodie movement. How does it extend into a bigger picture in as far as sustainability is concerned, for example?
Yeah, good question. And interestingly enough, when we first started in 2022, I would say probably half the show was food and beverage. And that's kind of what we expected. And that's where we saw it going. And what's happened now, in our expo in March this year, I would say probably 60 to 70% of the hall was personal care and cosmetics. So that's the biggest growth area, but it spans every category. There's pet care exhibitors that we have doing organic pet care products. There's personal care, there's home care. We've got an exhibitor that makes household detergents out of orange peels. There's clothing, bamboo fabrics and textiles. There's even a lady who does bamboo toilet paper. So it really is cross-category, but you're right. The personal care cosmetics side is really the growth area at the moment, yeah.
So these are manufacturers. Often they start in their garage or they start in their kitchen. These are tiny little organizations, often people who've lost their jobs or have absolutely nothing else that they can possibly do. And they don't have budget for things like exhibits. And exhibiting is expensive. So how do you manage and help this sort of SME category, get off the ground, get exposure, and get out there, because it's critical for our economy. You know, we are such a can-do kind of attitude, South African, you know, spirit. How do we help? How do you help these industries get exposure?
Well, that's also kind of where it all starts, and in the inspiration comes from, because to your point, these are small businesses, you know, mom and pop shop, for want of a better term, either started out of a dire circumstance, like you said, they've lost their jobs. But often what we see is a really cool story behind these products, often based out of a personal need. So, for example, someone's child's got a rare type of eczema. All the normal products don't work, or they've tried everything, and they are forced into their own science lab to invent something. And a lot of them have these stories behind them of where these products come from. So the inspiration is easy to get, because having spent a few years in the sector, it's a very close-knit group of people. They are all good people. Really, you know, when you start at the base of health, wellness, sustainability, all of these terms, you kind of end up with a cool crowd. A peaceful, sharing, loving crowd. So that's kind of the family that's developed around us. And in doing so, we've had to kind of invent mechanisms to help them. We mentioned government, firstly, have really come to the fore. All the provincial economic development departments, you know, they have a mandate to support small business within their provinces, so they will bring delegations, whether it's KZN, Free State, Limpopo, Northwest, all bringing their SMEs. And then also government has realized that big business is not going to save the job creation problem. Because, you know, with the advent of technology and AI, big business is downsizing, in fact. So you'll get more employment and job creation out of supporting small business. And then the skills transfer and all these other elements to it. So we've had to develop mechanisms which hinges on government and corporates to step up and assist SMEs.
So, you know, I mean, we're all in this for the money. We all have to make money. We all have kids to send to school. You have a business to run. But it sounds to me like you're driven by something bigger.
Yeah, that's where it's ended up. That wasn't the intention. We got into this to make some money on a great concept. And along the way, it's actually become a passion. So I can assure you we have not made lots of money over the last 5 years, if any. The objective is still to make some money. We are a commercial organization, unashamedly. But if we make money as an expo, that means we're doing something right, which means there's this platform that people and companies are benefiting from. So I sleep well at night knowing that I'm a commercial organization doing something good. And as I say, we have the same, a lot of the same exhibitors that join us year in, year out. So it's clearly working for them. And it's just something really great to be a part of.
Are there any real like success stories that come to mind? People who have been exhibitors since the beginning, who have seen their businesses grow, that you've been a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. Even in March now, there was a company doing some skincare who got a massive pharmacy deal, you know, maybe through one of the major chains or whoever was there. But we see, because we pre-register, obviously the trade pre-register for free access to the show, so it's free for the trade. We also welcome consumers to the show, because it's an important part of the market. An educated consumer would buy more, and there's a lot of weird and wonderful products. So we see the buyers as they register. We see the major chains. We see the, you know, the Pick and Pays, the Shoprite Checkers, the Dis-Chems, the Clicks, the Wellness Warehouse, the Fruit and Veg, you know, all of these guys, Food Lovers Market. So they're there. They're there. So if the exhibitors are doing their thing, the chances are they'll, you know, if not getting a deal there and then, because that often doesn't happen. But it's the start of the process of networking. And we've had many that have gone through. Another company in Cape Town now, Shoprite Checkers, went to their store and the guy said, look, we want to help you develop this product into what it needs to be on our shelves. So they're actually going to work with them.
Checkers is one of the most incredible brands out there. They really, probably above all the other retailers, they really actually do support the communities. And there's, I mean, I've heard the story a number of times now where they have gone to people, growers in Limpopo, who've got these small farms, just family farms, and they are helping them to get their products in store, which is just so, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you want to support companies like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably the largest FMCG retailer in the country right now. They've done amazingly well over the years. But then you look at smaller specialist retailers like Gary Jackson, Jackson's Real Food Market down in Bryanston. There's one in Kailami. So you know, during COVID, when there was almost like very limited business, he was paying his suppliers first, making sure he was looking after the small businesses. And that's a perfect example of the type of community that this is.
Yeah, Gary definitely walks his talk. I mean, there's no one else like that in the country who really,
yeah.
You know.
He speaks usually every year at the conference, and it's always one of the busiest sessions. People just want to hear from him.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So are there any particular brands that come to mind that, you know, you mentioned somebody whose kids had eczema. I'm thinking there's a beef tallow company, skincare. I don't know if they're one of your exhibitors, but is it the no BS people?
Yeah, 100%. My namesake, Warren. And the product is so cool.
Yeah, they're absolutely incredible. That story about where they came from and what initiated the need to create this product.
Well, I took a sample from the expo last year. It's where I first started using it. I went back to my wife. I said, "Got to use this," or show some friends. "You've got to use it now." They're all like, "Oh, this teller is amazing." But it is, you know.
I think what really appeals to me about working with you guys and also the people who exhibit is their passion to just make the world a better place. I think it's critically important.
What you see a lot of, interestingly, at the expo also is the exhibitors networking. So early in the morning, it's usually, you know, fairly quiet as the expo opens up, and then it gets busier throughout the day. And in that early morning sessions, the exhibitors are walking around talking to each other. And I've seen partnerships blossom between the exhibitors. And we always say to the guys who come, look, this is not a market. Yes, we encourage you to sell your product to the visitors and try and recoup as much of the cost as you can, but it's not about that. That's one element. So do that and do it lots. And we've had many people sell out and have to say, look, can someone watch our stand? We've got to go get more stock. Like, and that's awesome. But then go speak to the exhibitors, exhibitor to exhibitor. There's loads of partnerships, knowledge sharing that can take place there, just general networking. Then you've got the visitors that come through. Obviously the trade, you're looking for the major retailers, you're looking for the exporters and the importers and the distributors, and that's those are the big deals that you're after. And then finally there's the consumer who you want to educate. And I always come back to the one example about Moringa. Awful tasting stuff, but so beneficial from a health perspective. So how do you incorporate that into your kids' diet? They just ain't going to eat it. So, for example, when my wife was pregnant also, it helps bring on the milk once the baby is born, Moringa. So we actually ended up mixing it in yogurt and then kind of masked the taste, and she could have it that way. So all of these kind of things need to come across to get the overall benefit.
Yeah, and South Africa has such a rich culture and heritage of healing, of wellness, of plant-based medicine. Are there exhibitors at the expo who are all about that? You know, your African traditional herbs and remedies. How big is that sector? And is it growing?
It's interesting that you mentioned that. So this year, for the second time, we have the African Biotrade Festival. It's a festival or expo on its own that's run by government, Department of Forestries and Fisheries, DTIC, Department of Science, Technology and Innovation. There's lots of acronyms in the government departments. So they get together. The first one was 2 years ago, funded by GIZ, the German funding agency. And they put on this African Biotrade Festival. Now, biotrade is essentially the ensuring of a commercial value chain surrounding a country's indigenous plants, and more importantly, the ensuring of an equitable participation of everyone involved. Because traditionally, plants get exploited, local knowledge gets exploited, local people get exploited, big companies make the money. So the initiative around biotrade is saying, no, everyone must participate from beginning to end. At the last Biotrade Festival 2 years ago, there was a big agreement signed at the expo between the Khoisan people and the various stakeholders to kind of ensure that equitable. So that's real on the ground, plant-based. It's massive. And that's from the people who grow it to the next group of people who harvest it, to the people who then produce and refine and manufacture, to the guys who import, export and retail. It's everyone.
Everyone wins. I don't think this happens anywhere else in the world, not to this extent.
No, and mostly because we, as a continent, yeah. I mean, this festival is looking specifically at South African plant-based products and our indigenous stuff. But as a continent, there's so much. And each different region has its own. So the concept, can apply to the entire continent. And for the most part, it's untapped. You know, it's untapped. That's also why the cosmetics and personal care category is growing so much, because a lot of these plants are being used in the manufacture of these as ingredients in these products, these end products.
That is phenomenal. And speak to me about sustainable hospitality.
This has been a concept that my partner and I have been talking about for a couple of years now. A lot of the exhibitors are already there. Some of the soap guys, the personal care guys, the food and beverage guys obviously already have an interest in hospitality. It's kind of another market. You know, they all start by wanting to get into retail, get on shelf, or do e-com, but hospitality is right there and it's waiting as an industry generally. But now if you look over the last 10 years in terms of sustainable hospitality, if you think of ecotourism and you look at what all the lodges are trying to do, we've just felt that the time is right. So we launched this year the Sustainable Hospitality Expo, which will be taking place inside the show, as a show within a show. And hopefully as soon as next year, we can actually separate that out into its own hall if we get the kind of backing and interest that we think we should. And then it'll be a separate expo that just runs alongside. But lots of crossover. A lot of this, I mean, it goes from, if you just think of the categories within hospitality, you've got bedroom, you've got kitchen, you've got spa and gym, you've got outdoor, you've got, and there's a sustainable element to every, whether it's equipment in the kitchen, whether it's solar and off-grid solutions, whether it's green building materials like cement. So it also brings a whole new buyer audience. Everyone owns Airbnb, boutique hotels, mainstream hotels, the management companies, the development companies, the lodges from up in Africa, and everyone in between. So it's exciting.
There should be a star grading based on sustainability. And that's another organization to get going, because there's something in that. Because it's not unique to us, but we have such a great opportunity. And I think our power crisis in this country has made it, and it's sparked creativity. People have to, we have no choice. We have no power. We've got to find another way. And crisis can do that. It can either take you down or it can create industry. And South Africans being who we are, we'll figure out a way. And I think it's so lovely discussing this, because it sounds like the future is so bright when the rest of the world seems to be falling apart and everyone's throwing missiles at each other and fighting over stupid things. We are just getting on with doing life and being there for each other, which is, I think, yeah, that seems to, it seems to be what this whole energy is about, is how do we network and lift each other up and make the world a better place. So, wow. What is, before we round off, as a visitor to the show, who is your demographic? Who comes and visits the show, and what can someone listening to this podcast, if they're interested, what can they expect to find at the show as a visitor?
So I'll start with the visitors, and as we've said, there's two sizes, there's trade and there's consumer. So I'll start with the consumer visitor. They can expect to come and just be wowed with smells, tastes, touches, sights, you know, all of the senses around, as I've been known to say, weird and wonderful products from cross categories. So we want them to literally come learn. We want them to open their wallets and come and buy. We want them to go home with a head full of knowledge and a bag full of goodies, and really just, you know, dive into this industry and see what's available, because there's a really lot of cool stuff. So it's the consumers. And then trade, this is, and I always use the example of go to the back of a Dis-Chem and just go look at their health and organic and natural category, which probably 5 years ago was maybe two shelves. It's now an entire aisle. So that's the business opportunity behind this sector, and it is growing that fast. So the ability to come and source everything from ingredient, if you're a manufacturer, through to finished goods, if you're an exporter, and everything in between, or partnerships around product, logistics, the certifying agencies are there. So if you want to know how to get certified, because if you want to claim organic, you need to be organic certified. Different criteria for the Asian markets, that's called NOP. Then you've got the European, then you've got the US. So guys like EcoCert and Control Union and Ceres, they're the agencies that do this. They'll be there, you know, to kind of educate. We've got a conference that is kind of half being run by DFFE and the BioTrade Festival, talking around the regulatory framework of that sector and how they're going to protect the value chain, as we discussed earlier. And then we're running a Woman in Organics in Bizo, being run by our own Catherine. Where it's focusing on the business side of the organic market, but specifically with a kind of woman-led industry. And where that comes from is the sustenance or farming and growing that takes place, and that's where it all starts. So you've got people growing at home, growing vegetables, growing fruit, whatever the case may be, in rural areas. And then you grow excess, so you produce some jams. Now you're selling jams and selling you in product. Now you've got a little industry, and then you get a brand, and suddenly you're making some money, and these are the people that now step up to the plate. And we're honing in on those women in those situations who have succeeded. We're also honing in on those who have failed along the way, and we're trying to share those stories so that you can copy the good stuff, not the bad stuff. Yeah, so it's a lot of education, a lot of collaboration, lots of business. International exporters will be there. We've got European delegates coming out. I was discussing with Gauteng Tourism today some discounted hotel rates for us, which they're going to help with. So there's lots going on. There's lots.
Yeah, I think you're doing an enormous amount of good, and I think it should be more recognized. We've got to get the message out there. We've got to get people more aware of what we are doing in this country as far as sustainability and just lifting up communities is concerned. Everyone complains about the price of retail goods. These are products that are manufactured locally. There's no import duties. Everything feeds back into our economy. And that's really important at this stage. So if we can make more people aware, it'd be really, really important for all concerned.
I think the perception also around, you know, organic products is that it's more expensive. And in agriculture, yes. Because if you're farming traditionally a crop of tomatoes, and you've got fertilizers and inputs and pesticides, your output is going to be bigger. When you switch to organic, there's usually a drop, so therefore that's typically more expensive. And that is a little bit of a journey that still has to take place, but there's a lot of organic inputs, organic fertilizers now being produced, companies like Talborn doing amazing things there. So that gap is lessening. But then it's not the case with the products. When you start getting to the creams and the products and the essential oils and the chocolates and the waxes and all of these things, that's not the case. So people need to realize it's not more expensive.
It's not. It's, you know, this is a question I get asked all the time. Isn't it more expensive to eat healthy? And it's really not. Mm-hmm. If you do a basket by basket comparison, say at Jackson's compared to Woolworths, it's pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Or even Woolworths and Checkers, it's pretty much the same. Yeah. So it is a perception that needs to be broken, and people do need to be educated. What you mentioned earlier about, you know, the cost of organic, if the consumer is demanding better and wants to pay, not even pay more, but is expecting more from a retailer, and we're seeing this with big retail, they have to simply provide better. It comes down to what people are prepared to spend their money on.
And it's about also making the choices that actually go beyond just what you're going to put in your mouth. You know, so yes, from a personal health and wellness, that's tick, box ticked. What about supporting small business as opposed to big industry? Tick. What about supporting industry that is farming and growing organically? So that's sustainable. Because remember, commercial farming, there's a shelf life. That soil is going to be dead. So it's not only the right thing to do, and let's not get all hippie about it, it's the essential thing to do. We have to adopt en masse this way of thinking and buying and just being. It's an exciting space to be in. It really is.
And again, it comes back to what we can not get away with, but what we can action in this country. It's so much easier from a regulatory point of view and from an entrepreneurial support point of view in this country. We are very pro-growth, where in Europe and in the States and definitely in Australia, it's so much harder to get this kind of industry off the ground and past the red tape and past the big manufacturers have got so much money to block it. Yeah, no one blocks anything. We do what we have to do.
I mean, so also, just to kind of further your example there, so also, who's the main sector body, they are developing a set of guidelines where you can be certified as organic here in South Africa. You won't be able to export your product because you have to have the European or American certification, but you'll be able to say we're organic, because right now you can't unless you're certified by one of the big bodies. And that's expensive. That's dollar priced. You know, if you're going for an export market, well, that's the only reason you do it. So then you've got people who are actually organic here, but can't say so. So that's just where we're saying, okay, hang on, we'll develop our own. you know, the resilience of South Africa. But then also having said that, just important to mention that, you know, I was on the phone call this morning with the Namibian government. We've got one of our execs currently negotiating with the Botswanans. My partner John's negotiating with the Madagascans. Started South Africa, but this is really becoming a continental play, which is what we're excited to see.
So exciting. So, you know, next year your expo will be all over the continent.
Bring it. And I think that's a, you know, perfect point is Bayerfach, I mentioned earlier, is the big German show. It happens in February every year. That is the meeting place of global organic and natural products. We often, as the continent, send delegations there every year. Our buyers, Gary, goes there. And we're saying, no, come here. Come here. If you want to see African products, come here. We've got more than enough to show you. We want the tourism. We want all of the benefits of it. So you come here.
Yeah, make the weak rand work for us. Yeah, absolutely. Warren, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to get this out to our audience and make sure that, well, it just goes from strength to strength.
Super. Thank you so much for the time. We obviously appreciate any airtime we can get because it drives the agenda, and we need all the help we can get. So anyone listening wants to partner, just obviously reach out. I'm more than happy to talk.
Thanks for joining us on the Reinvent Health podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a moment to subscribe so you never miss another episode. And if this discussion sparked something in you, I would love it if you could leave a review. It helps others discover the show and join our growing community of wellness seekers. Don't forget to visit the Organic and Natural Products Expo Africa in September. You can find out more about the expo on Instagram or by going directly to the organicandnaturalportal.com. Until next time, stay well.